Welcome to Women's Wellness Podcast with Lucy Coutinho and Nahal Horn, where we are tackling mommy stress one wellness practice at a time. This is a safe space where women and our brave men too can come to share their stories. Created with my love for storytelling and passion for mental health and mind, my aim is to help amplify the voices of women everywhere. These conversations will feel like having a warm cup of coffee or tea with a friend. So grab yours now. Let's welcome my dear friend Jessica Arnold to the show. She is the founder of the EMA Project in memory of her son, Edward Manuel Arnold, founded in 2021 after experiencing the premature birth and death of her son in 2020. She and her husband realized that there was a need for additional support and also tools and resources to be provided to our community. She is joining us today to tell us all about the EMA Project and their fight for health and support for babies and families impacted by grief, neonatal loss, and or pregnancy loss. Welcome, my dear friend. How are you feeling today?
Hi, Lucy. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. I'm feeling great. As you know, recovering from COVID. So it's actually really good to finally be able to sit down and talk and discuss the EMA project with you. So thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you so much for being here. And I just want to say before we begin, I want to send my you to your family. I have been following your journey and your mission for years now, just watching your growth and your strength and your resilience and your resolve and the cause to bring awareness to this. And I just want to say how proud I am and how much it has filled up my heart to see you to be a voice to this. And so thank you. And thank you for accepting the invitation to come on. I know this conversation is not easy. Nahal and I are truly grateful. She could not make it to this episode. She's traveling, enjoying California life right now. So, but she did have some questions for you as well. So I just want to dive right in with the first one. The first question we had for you is, how are you able to support and advocate and bring awareness to maternal health specifically for women of color? I know that it is it's a very delicate topic for us. Mm-hmm. So share with us, how are you able to do that?
Sure. So for me, it's been really purposeful, this grief. You know, as hard and as challenging as it has been, it has created an opportunity for me to find a new purpose in my life and to really advocate for all birthing persons, but specifically, you know, BIPOC women, birthing persons who are experiencing rates, you know, 3-4 times that of the national average for a white woman. So we know that racial disparity is there. There's health inequity that we're facing. And sometimes we just don't know what to say, right? So it's really important for me when I'm speaking to women that they're asking their providers for certain things and their providers are not listening. It's really important for us to say, I would like for you to document my chart with your denial of my request.
Wow.
You know, that's so powerful because it literally stops that provider in their tracks and makes them rethink why they're saying no to you.
Yeah.
And there are times when I know it's valid, right? I'm not a medical provider, but I say, we got to listen to the people living their experience in their body, right?
Yes.
knew, in my example, I knew there was something wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. I kept asking for certain things and I was placated, you know, and I was at a top hospital in Boston with the medical director for a maternal fetal medicine practice, which is the highest risk OBGYN designation. So very much felt like, even though at times that I didn't feel heard, it was almost like, well, I'm at the top hospital, right? Like I'm with the top provider. So it's even like second guessing your own intuition.
Right. And you have that trust, you know, you have
absolutely,
the trust that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's really important for me, honestly, to have a lot of grounding practices in the work that I'm doing now, because I've completely shifted sort of my career. You know, I'm running the MA project full time. I have 18 years of global experience in well-being and total rewards and human resources. And I'm thankful I had a beautiful career. And now it's time for me to shift and be able to be a voice for those who are voiceless.
Yeah.
You know, we need it. We need representation. I honestly, it had some of the organizations that I have found during my grief process, and it's, you know, we're 2 years in, 2+ years in, and I'll tell you, it's still hard every day. I admire parents who are still here, honestly, because it is just such a desperation and heaviness that I can't begin to compare it with anything I've experienced prior to this, you know. And that's why it's also been important for me to find a voice within this, because this, I felt that at a point that, you know, this was going to kill me, that grief was just the heartbreak of losing my son and experiencing a life without him was unbearable to think about. And I'm so grateful to be on the other side of that. But a lot of that took a lot of intention. It took a lot of holistic healing along with some Western medication and tools, you know. And I remember, you know, one of the women that I look up to the most within this journey is Stephanie Crawford, who's a doula in Boston and who has really tremendously just sometimes carried me in my grief. She runs an organization, Proper City Community Outreach, which I am now a proud board member of.
Beautiful.
Thank you. And that organization is doing such amazing things in the Boston area and beyond. We were touching people all over. And, you know, she's someone that experienced a stillbirth with her first child at the age of 23. And, you know, she's 11 years into her journey and doing really great things that have been an inspiration for me and for the EMA project. She, you know, has really helped me to find my voice even within this. And I bring her up because I remember her saying, you know what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to visualize yourself telling your story. And then you have to find a way to ground yourself each and every time, right? Because to your point, these conversations are not only difficult, they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Death is uncomfortable, and the death of a child is even more so.
Right. And so I wanted to, this is probably a two-part question, right? So I want to get more into your personal healing and grieving process, right? And then the other part of the question that I had was, do you feel like our purpose finds us in terms of, you know, you finding this purpose in this mission? Do you feel like it found you? Two-part question, of course. Yeah.
Yes. And I say that for HR as well. I feel like both times it's been, you know, it was born out of experience. I feel like I birthed this project for my son in his memory. I don't ever want anyone to forget his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Edward Manuel Arnold was, I call him my sunshine.
Yeah.
And he existed and he lived. And it was a short 22 days. I felt so much hope. I had so much faith that he was going to make it. And, you know, God chose something else. And I had to find purpose within this pain. I do say that it's a gift. Sometimes it does feel like a curse. Because it's difficult to imagine a lifetime without him, without getting all the milestones that I dreamed of. And, you know, as you know, as my friend, I waited a really long time to have another child.
Yeah.
So I do have a beautiful 24-year-old young woman who's doing amazing things in the world.
Absolutely.
And I'm super grateful for her and for the experience to mother her, because it's been, it's been a beautiful journey together.
Absolutely.
But in terms of tools, I've you know, prayer.
Yeah.
And it sounds cliche, but honestly, it got me through, you know, on my darkest days. And I would just pray for God to let me see the light of another day.
Mm-hmm.
My family, my village. I mean, a lot of why the EMA project has been, you know, birthed is because I am so blessed to have the type of family that drops everything when they can to support and to be there. And yeah. That's what happens with me, even though at times I felt lonely, because, you know, unless somebody has gone through this, it can feel very much like you're on an island by yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was my mom and my sister dropping everything the minute that I went into labor. And by the time I came out of the operating room, we had, you know, closed for days because they went shopping for us because they knew we were just there, you know, on an overnight. We were out of state when we went into labor. And that's really my dream for the EMA project, to have a home where people can come and be taken care of in a village mentality, in a community setting that, you know, if you have children, that we're caring for your children with you if you can't, because the truth of the matter is that this grief can bring a lot of despair. And so we have to find ways that work for us. Not everything works for everyone, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's been things that I've tried that I'm like, okay, I gave this a good go. Medication was one of them, you know. And then I decided this is not working for me. This is not making me feel better. And I want to try things that are going to be more natural and holistic for my own body and my own psyche that, you know, are going to even elevate my spirituality.
Right.
And that, you know, to me has been Kundalini yoga.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I am goodness. I advocate for that 100% for anxiety, mm-hmm. grief, and the breath work is, I mean, out of this world. Yeah, for sure. I'm glad. I'm so glad you said that. And I hope whoever is listening can pick up these jewels, because grief is something that's very delicate, right? Because it's mm-hmm. it comes in like phases, waves. Yeah, it's like an ocean of like,
yes.
And you know, and it doesn't matter how long you've been grieving. You know, you can have a parent, a child pass away 20 years ago and still be grieving. And I, you know, and I really want to make that okay for people to understand that you get to grieve, you get to go through those waves and those the process of feeling what you need to feel, you know. And yeah, so how would you explain the grieving process to someone? Like if I were to ask you, you know, how would you put it into words to sum it up?
I think for me, the best quote is the tide always turns, because I do see grief as waves. And sometimes those waves are so gentle and they hold you. And there's so many beautiful moments within that grief and that wave, right? But then there comes this great big wave and it knocks you off your feet. Sometimes it feels like a tsunami of a wave.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So I feel like there's such a rockiness to the grief within those waves. But there's so much, I have experienced so many beautiful moments that are just, they're just things from beyond that cannot be explained, that can only be explained because energy never dies, you know, and because I believe that there is a higher power. I believe that my son's energy is here. It lives every day within the EMA project. It lives every day within me.
Yes.
And I know that's been the gift, because I can't tell you, there's never been a moment in my life where I have believed in myself more than I do today, Lucy.
Wow. That just, it's like, it gave me chills.
I get chills because it's so real. And I never could have imagined as I was grieving that this is where I would be today. So I just, you know, to those of you who are grieving, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You said it's okay to feel. And that's what I love about what you're doing within this wellness community, is that our feelings are valid. We have a safe space to share. We have a safe space to show up and be ourselves and be vulnerable.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I have wanted to do that I'm still recognizing. Okay, Jessica, you need to take a step back. You're not there yet. You know, I started actually doing my doula certification.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I had to check in with myself because it was such a emotional turmoil that I was, because I'm still doing it as I am grieving, you know?
Yeah.
And so, although I'm going to grieve for a lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I can do today that I couldn't do 6 months ago, that I couldn't do a month ago. So I'm being gentle with myself and recognizing that, okay, this is a long-term goal. It doesn't have to be accomplished today.
No.
But what can I focus on? And that's been a lot of the intentionality of my grief now, of like, okay, I can focus on the negative, right? And on the things that I can no longer do, but that's not going to serve me. It's not going to move me along in this process. It's not going to make me, you know, like, my son is not coming back. That is a realization that you sometimes have to have within grief, because there's a denial, there's a shock there that, you know, it very much feels like you're living in an alternate reality at times. And I also recognize that grief is grief, and grief is love. It's love for the person that is not physically here. It's love for all the milestones or things that you thought you would experience and didn't. And so, you know, I think, as you know, I haven't been shy in my grief. I feel like it broke me open.
Yeah.
I was already a vulnerable person, but this really broke me open in a way that I'm going to show up authentically anywhere that I go. And listen, whoever is going to have an issue with it, they're going to have to examine those feelings. They're not mine.
Well, if it makes them uncomfortable, what I like to say is that if it's making you that uncomfortable, then you need to look inside, because there's a message there that you need to hear. And so you saying that, if it's making other people uncomfortable, then that it's like almost like it's none of your business, because it's something that they'll have to examine within themselves. So
right. And grief changes a lot of relationships. So there has not been one person that I've spoken to that has said otherwise. So there's also grief that comes along with that, that you have to reexamine friendships, you know,
even
with your family, relationships, because not everyone can support you. Especially, you know, I feel like I very much have a caretaker, personality in general, in my friendships. Yeah. In my life, you know. And so I think it was hard for people to see me needing a little bit more than, I mean, I'm gonna be real, because that's the only way to be, and I want someone to feel heard, you know, in this conversation. But there were times that my family had to come pick up and come clean my house for me, come cook for me, come do laundry for me, because I physically could not get up.
Yes.
And I am so grateful for every single person that did that in my life, that didn't judge me, that didn't, you know, that literally came with no agenda. Like, listen, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear you complain. I've been asking you to come over. You're saying no, I'm here. Things are going to get done.
Yeah.
That was life-saving.
Yeah.
It was life-saving, because there were things that I just felt, it just felt so, my life felt so out of whack, that I was literally just focused on breathing. And so I'm just grateful that I was able to do that. I'm grateful that I was a saver.
Yeah.
That I've been able to, you know, take a huge shift in my career, and actually do something that, you know, really brings me a lot of joy, even though it's born out of a lot of sadness. And so as difficult as it is to support people, right, when they're going through this, it's also the beautiful thing. I get to share this love of my son. I get to share these resources that I curate personally, that I want to make sure that they receive, and that it's received with love, with intention, and with a lot of gratitude for the grief, honestly. And, you know, we have an intention candle that we sell. All proceeds go towards our care packages. I send out our care packages myself. I curate every item that is in there. We get donations from donors, you know, whether it be monetary, or we have an Amazon wish list that people can actually buy things for the care packages that we send out. And I can't tell you like how many messages I get, which I've been also one of those people receiving care packages from organizations that were helpful to me, you know, which is how I know they're beneficial. Right. And we send things out, you know, if there's kids in the family, if the dads are involved, like there's resources for everyone. And like I said, I can't wait, you know, for us to be on here in a few years and I'll be discussing my brand new house.
Yes.
You know, we're offering services and being a birthing center in the community and offering a village, you know, mentality.
I love that.
Yeah, and just supporting each other and loving each other through the good and the bad, because not every pregnancy ends in a positive outcome. And that's just the reality of life.
That is the reality. And I'm glad that we're having this conversation and that, you know, we're not felt so alone in this, you know, in this reality, because it is real. And I feel like it's something that we don't give voice to and we don't discuss because it is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, it is sad, if you will, but it's real. And I'm so happy that you've been able to transform this experience into something so beautiful, and then to help other women in the process and creating a community and a village of supporters. And it's amazing. Now, I want to wrap this up by kind of concluding this with a PSA, if you will, for women who are listening out there, who have loved ones kind of going through the grieving process, or like the, you know, or the delicate pregnancies. Are there any underlining health issues that we should be watching out for, questions that we should be asking? And another point that I also wanted to make is that whole stigma about us being strong Black women of color. You know, we have this thing that we're strong, and so when we complain and when we bring certain things, when we express certain discomfort, it's like, oh, you know, you're fine, don't worry. How do we break out of that and really speak up and say, you know what? No, I want you to look into this, you know, and question the doctor, the healthcare provider. What would you say to that?
I think it's become very clear that we have to care what our providers look like, and we have to care that if we're not in an area where we can have providers of color that are accessible to us, that we at least have culturally competent doctors who know that we all have biases. Mm-hmm. We're human beings. We all have them. If we accepted that, if we really accepted that, then I feel like the world would just be a better place, to be honest. And, you know, I've had providers who are not providers of color who I've said, listen, it's really important for me to feel heard, mm-hmm. and to have a conversation. I remember having a white therapist and having a cultural conversation with her, and her saying to me, hey, there are things that in your experience, I am not going to be able to, you know, identify or even maybe understand or work through. And when those moments arise, I will let you know.
Wow. I love that.
Conversations have to happen.
Yes.
We sometimes cannot be supported by people who don't look like us. And I hate to say that, but that is just a reality that we're living. And studies don't lie. The numbers don't lie. We are facing mortality rates 3 to 4 times higher than white women. Our babies are suffering. And as a result, the birthing people, the women, are suffering. So for me, it's empowering yourself, knowing that if you're pregnant and you're feeling uncomfortable with your provider, you have a right to choose a different provider. You have a right to choose a different office, and your health insurance, your member services office, they can help you with that, if that is something that you want to explore. A lot of times we're scared to switch providers mid-pregnancy because, oh my goodness, I've already established care, you know, for whatever reason. Yes. There's a multitude of reasons. I mean, it could be location, but it's really important to feel heard. And if you're not feeling heard, then it's time to go, because that's how we are going to get results. It's by leaving these providers who are not caring for us in a way that makes us have healthy outcomes.
That's right.
And, you know, I obviously I was a woman over 40. The risks were there. I knew, but I'll be honest, I never imagined not bringing my son home.
Yeah.
I just didn't. And I know that that is a similar experience to a lot of the women that I have supported in this journey. And, you know, I hope that anybody grieving knows that there's so many resources out there. There really are. And that if you send a message to the EMA project, you will get a response from me. We can send out care packages to you. It doesn't matter when you experience your loss. We want to support you. We love to name your children, you know, because they existed and they matter. And so that's just what we're working on. Our next big event, if I can just plug that. It's in
It and also share.
It's in the Boston area.
Yeah, share that and also share all of your social media handles.
Absolutely.
Your website, everything you can leave us with.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lucy. And thank you for this opportunity. I'm like so excited that this was actually my debut.
I love it. I'm glad I caught you first.
Yes.
I wasn't sure, but I'm glad. I feel honored that you're a very special person to me. We've shared a lot of special moments together. I've always loved you so much as a person, as a human, as a sister. And so it's an honor for me to have you here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So yeah, like I said, we do have EMA gear that we sell that, again, all the proceeds go towards our care packages. So our website is www.theemaproject.org. We're on Facebook and Instagram at the EMA Project handle, and then on Twitter, the EMA Project with a number 1 at the end. Our intention candle is super beautiful. It smells like the ocean. It's called Magic by the Ocean Side because a lot of my healing therapy has come from the ocean. And it has a natural stone that is only found in the Dominican Republic called Lariman, with lavender and chamomile. So it's just like really soothing, calming, grounding scent. And yeah, just I encourage you to reach out. I encourage you to lean on your village. Don't be afraid to ask for what you need. Sometimes people don't know.
Yeah.
And that goes for anyone grieving. You know, sometimes people are not sure how to support us, and it's okay to ask for certain
absolutely
things. You know, I think sometimes we're afraid of being vulnerable, right?
And yeah,
needing others. But you know, that has come, a lot of my healing has come from community.
Yeah,
a lot of my
that.
Healing has come from village, you know, and I don't get tired of saying that, because I feel like that's what I feel like there's a great shift in the collective right now, where people are actually like turning inwards more and turning more into their ancestral roots. And hey, how do I find like natural ways of curing myself? Mm-hmm. They're out there. Like all of these medicinal products were rooted in things that are natural to the earth. So, you know, I wholeheartedly believe that that is what's going to continue to heal us like as a whole.
Yeah, it's like we're going back to the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. and I love that. And I do love to see that. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Wow, this has been amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So just to say, the event is a Family Restoration Day. It's on June 18th. It's at Dr. Lowesky Family Park in Dorchester, Massachusetts. We're super excited to have a lot of resources for the community there. So we're going to have vendors. We're going to have organizations from the city of Boston who are providing services. The EMA Project will be there. Proper City Community Outreach will be there. And I'm just really just glad to be in the community. It's our first big event, in-person event, and I'm really looking forward to it. So that's going to be on June 18th.
June 18th it is, and I hope to be there as well, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank
love
you.
you.
Love you. Continue to do the great work. This is, wow, this is a chosen mission, and it's just so amazing. Wow. And to my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you did find so much value in this information that Jessica just shared with us. Until the next time, my beautiful friends, sending you all so, so much love.